Good evening, everyone. I'm broadcasting live. January 15th, 2016. So it's been a eventful week here. I spent Tuesday and Thursday teaching more or less one-on-one, 5-minute meditation lessons. Sometimes two people, sometimes three, sometimes four. And it was just amazing the diversity. Like it was such a fruitful activity. I taught two Sikh men one point, two Muslim women. I taught a woman who has cerebral palsy. She was in a wheelchair. I taught one woman who sat down and just started crying. Mostly, you know, 20-some-year-old kids, but a couple of older people. One woman who sat down and told me she had psychic powers. She got visions, that there were spirits came to her and showed her visions. And she was impressed by the practice, surprised. Most people were surprised by it, I think. It's not what people expect from meditation, but pleasantly surprised. And some people really got it. And we're still working on exactly what I say, but more or less just telling people that meditation is based on being objective. The key principle is that it's not our experiences that cause our suffering, it's our reactions to them. So if we can just experience things as they are, we won't suffer, for example. And then I start talking about the things. If someone's shouting at you, it's not the sound that causes you suffering, it's the reaction you have to their words, and you get angry and upset, and that cripples you, it locks you into this negative attitude that then leads to argument, conflict, and so on. If you have thoughts, memories about the past, or worries about the future, things you have to do in the future, things that are coming in the future. The thoughts themselves aren't a problem, it's only when you let them get to you that they become a problem. Even physical pain is just an experience. You can just experience it as pain. Well, it too won't be a problem. It's just pain. So this is the theory that behind the practice. I tell them the theory. So it's separated into three parts. There's the theory, then there's the technique, and then I start explaining them to them about what you do. So you say hearing, or thinking, or pain. And then the third part is explaining why we have to sit and practice meditation. It's a means of training ourselves in this practice of reminding ourselves. So we want to be objective. The technique by which we become objective is to remind ourselves. We want to see things as they are, so we remind ourselves of what they are. And that's the word, and then I explain them that. And then I say, so meditation is an exercise or a training practice to to train you to in this technique of reminding yourself so that you can understand things as they are. And so I say we start by picking an object that we're not likely to react to anyway. Why? Because that's the easiest. It makes it easy for a beginner. If it was something that we'd normally react to, then very difficult for us to begin to cultivate objectivity. So that's why we use the breath. I explain to them about the stomach, and then I have them close their eyes and put their hand on their stomach. Most people thought that was a little bit goofy, I think. Everyone started smiling when I told them to put their hand on their stomach, because we're in a hallway and people are walking back and forth. It was incredible publicity, about, you know, reminding people about meditation, making people think about meditation. Even today, someone came up to me and asked me if I was doing it again. Many people now know who I am on campus. They've been spending months wondering who I was, and now many of them know who I am. Quite interesting. A lot of publicity, people talking about it. And so then today we had our regularly scheduled Friday afternoon meditation, and four of them showed up, four people showed up who I had given a 5-minute meditation lesson to, and they just sat down and meditated with us. So we had a group of six of us meditating today, which is record for a Friday. On Monday we'll do another meditation, just a half an hour meditation together. And then Wednesday I'm doing that's when I do the teaching, so we'll see. We'll see if anyone comes to that. And I'm still gotta work on my TED talk. Maybe this weekend I'll put more effort into that. And school. School is interesting. First of all, school is, it's great that, and this is the reason for staying in school, for going back to school, is to be at the university and get involved with the community. So I wouldn't have been able to do such great work as I did this past week without being at the university, without being a student, I think. So that's reassuring. And the studies are interesting. Peace studies is really awesome. There's so much. It's so much of studying the ideas that I'm interested in anyway. What is Buddhism about? It's more peace studies than religious studies. It's more about peace than religion, of course. But in religious studies, I'm studying in Eastern Buddhism. And let me tell you, the Mahayana is messed up. Don't tell anyone. Don't like go on the internet. This isn't the kind of thing you want to broadcast on the internet, right? But let me tell you. I'm sitting in this Buddhism class. This is the only, probably one of the only practicing Buddhists. And I'm just thinking, oh no, please don't take this as representative of Buddhism. You know what they say, and this is the Lotus Sutra, which is really one of the base texts. What they say is that the Buddha was basically lying about there being three paths. The essence, the key that starts off the sutta, I haven't of course read it all, but we just started, is that the three paths of, you can choose to become a Buddha, or you can become a Pacheka Buddha, a private Buddha, or you can just become an Arahant following after the Buddha. That was a lie. Turns out that we all have to become Buddhas. There's only one path. I think it's the Buddha. Yeah, it is the Buddha path. And so this is what the Mahayana is based on, that the Buddha was, and the Sutta is just so much different. The Lotus Sutras, if you've read the Pali Suttas, there's no comparison. Just the flavor of it is missing. To put these words in the Buddha's mouth, not impressed. Not impressed. But it's worth studying, because Mahayana Buddhism is something that we have to deal with. not really impressed, and there's, you know, parts of the argument that just fall apart. But most especially the idea that the Buddha, you know, the idea that these earlier teachings were just because nobody would understand if he actually told the truth, or they would be turned off. So instead of that, he had to trick them. He was tricking people. All of the teachings that we follow as Theravada Buddhism, mostly just to trick people. Not exactly, but to encourage people in good things. It's still all about good things. So it's not evil. But it's kind of evil to put these words in the Buddha's mouth and now, you know, make a religion on basically nullifying all the things the Buddha ever taught. You know, the core of it anyway. Right, so that's... Oh, and today a couple of people came to visit in the morning. A woman with her with her 8-month-old kid taught her how to meditate. She lives just down the road. So it was nice to meet our neighbors. Today we have a quote about helping oneself by not harming others, which is interesting. I think it's only a partial quote. I think it'd be interesting to read the whole sutta. So I don't have it here on my phone, but it talks about what leads to great good for oneself. Then it talks about not harming others. So, I mean, that is a fair point, of course, because that's the whole thing about... I mean, this sutta has a bit of a problem for people because they might think, well, harming others isn't necessarily bad for you, right? So you say, I shouldn't harm others because I wouldn't like it, and so how can I do it to them? And they think, well, harming them doesn't harm me, right? If I steal from someone, I don't get stolen from, right? I actually gain. I've gained from that. So that's good for me, right? But underlying this is something much more important, and that harming others, it sets you in that realm of harming, of harm. You know, the people who you associate with start to change, your mind starts to become more corrupt. That's why what goes around comes around, is because your whole universe changes. If you're a good person, you surround yourself and you'll be interested, you'll be fond of good people. If you cultivate unwholesomeness, you'll associate yourself and surround yourself with unwholesome people. And so much more. I mean, everything will change around you. Your mind will change. Your health will change. And so your work will change. Your productivity will change. Your relationships will change. Everything will change. Harm leads to harm. Anyway, not too much to say besides that. I think that's enough talk for tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. sorry about yesterday, yeah, so I was a little bit... I just didn't feel up to doing a video and broadcasting, really. Tomorrow Q&A, okay? So Saturday's Q&A, we'll try that. We're under the assumption that Saturday night is when everyone will be sitting at home. Yeah. Because no one does anything on Saturday night, right? And so Saturday night we can meet together and do a Q&A. And then next Thursday we'll do Buddhism 101. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good night.